This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Special edition here with Mr. Kyle Odell, OWRS firm and .com is their website. And we're going to talk with a guest here in just a moment. But Money Beliefs versus Money Realities is our show each week with Kyle. And over the last several weeks, we've been bringing on some different guests in some different areas we thought would be very interesting and still have some things to do with our finances. So, Kyle, first of all, welcome.
Thanks, Scott.
Great to see you. Great to be here. All right. Tell us about our guest today.
You know, I'm excited about this topic because, you know, entrepreneurs that are over 50 have been really finding a lot of success later in life, you know, and many started off, you know, in corporate America. But, you know, in fact, you know, entrepreneurs in that age bracket of 55 to 62 as they're heading into retirement or getting around those years, you know, many of them have started a business. And they're having tremendous success, you know, at this kind of maybe their second career in life. And, you know, we're going to spend some time today talking through, you know, why are they having success? Do they have more experience? Is it the capital? Have they thought through, you know, that process of owning a business? Have they spent more time on that? So today we're talking with an entrepreneur who started investing in a company 2 years ago. His name is Richard Muckamel, and he's the CEO of Robinson's Remedies. So, Richard, thanks for being on the call today.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
Great to have you. So tell us a little bit, just a moment here, what is Robinson's Remedies?
Well, Robinson's Remedies is a startup company that develops and markets specialty lip care products. And over time, we'll also be moving into a related category, which is skin care.
Hmm. Got it. So tell us, why did you choose that avenue, that business exactly? What you know, was it a specific interest that you had? Was it an understanding of that, you know, that area of the market? You know, why did you choose that avenue?
Well, I invested in it because the founder of the company is a friend of mine. And let me very quickly give you the sort of the background, and it'll sort of answer your question that way. I'm an amateur musician. I play the trumpet and the euphonium, and I had some damage to my instrument. And I found out about Kenny. I took the instrument to him, and he was able to do the repair. And we got to know one another, and he was telling me about this product that he was literally making in his kitchen. He is a professional trumpet player and a lifelong cold sore sufferer. And he was not able to find something that worked the way he needed it to, that would enable him to heal quickly and be able to play, you know, play his trumpet. So he did years of research and experimented with different formulas. And when I met him, he was near the end of the development phase of this. And what actually happened is I said to him, you know, I have a background in similar types of products, and I think I can help you. And actually, what ended up happening is he didn't listen, and he ended up going into business with some other people that were, one was his friend, and then others were connected to his friend. And he ended up with people that were trying to kind of take over the business, and they also didn't really know what they were doing. So I was listening to him complaining about all of this for months. And, you know, I finally just said to him, listen, man, you either have to, you know, fold this thing up and walk away, or I don't know, maybe what I need to do is I need to buy these guys out and we take it. And so that's how I got involved in it.
Wow. Gotcha. So Richard, tell me, on your end, how old are you right now?
I'm going to be 60 in a couple of weeks.
You'll be 60 in a couple of weeks. Well, congratulations. Yep. Hitting a good
Thank
number
you.
There. Hitting that.
So I hope so.
Yeah.
I just hit that May 3rd myself, Richard.
All right.
It's a little painful, but we'll make it. Yeah.
Yes.
We keep telling Scott he looks the same, but, yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah. So at 60, why did you decide to run with this startup then? You know, at that point in your life?
The investments that I have are actually located in Canada. So I do draw income from that, but the income that I get fluctuates along with the value of the Canadian dollar. So what I was looking to do in my case was to develop U.S. sources of income that would stabilize the amount of money that I make, number one, help to provide for my family in the future, number two. So that was really why I decided to get involved in it. I also had been involved as a nonprofit executive and wanted to develop a source of income that, frankly, I could then turn around and, you know, use for charitable purposes.
Good. Richard, real quick, I just have a question for you. You knew this guy, and I think we've all, like I say, you're 60, going to be 60 here. Man, we've had a lot of friends in our past that have gotten into business deals with friends. For every one of those that turn out well, we can only probably tell about 40 of them that destroyed friendships and relationships and, you know, everything. It just did not turn out good. How did you go about making sure that, you know, hey, man, love you to death, you're a great friend, but any conversations you guys had that you might just say in general, hey, if you're thinking about going in business, you know, whether it be with a friend or not, but especially a friend, what are just some ground rules that you guys laid down to, you know, really have that open communication where nothing snowballed into bad things?
That's a really good question. And the quick answer to that is, do not go into business with a friend. So the first thing is, avoid it if you can.
I know what you mean, right?
So the second thing, in the case that I was in, I'm in a very, I think, a unique situation because I'm a professional business person and an amateur musician. My main partner, Kenny, is a professional musician and an amateur business person. So what I said to him was, listen, I'm going to fund this, and I have the expertise to run this because this was going to fail. And so I said to him, this is like the prophet and Marcus Lemonis. Hmm. I am 100% in charge.
Gotcha.
And he agreed. And so that was really the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, and I have a couple of other partners who are minor stakeholders. Kenny and I have the vast majority of it. And the key is, from my side, not to be overly greedy about it, to really think about being a good partner. And that, to me, is being open, being honest, being straightforward, and knowing when to say no to crazy ideas and knowing when to put my foot down. And he also knows that it is highly unusual to have a successful enterprise with friends.
Yeah.
So we know, you know, the rules are very clear and understood up front. And that, to me, is critical.
Absolutely.
So we're talking today with Richard Muckamel, and he's the CEO of Robinson's Remedies. And really today's topic, what we're talking through is, you know, a lot of our clients, I see it all the time where a lot of our clients will come in and, you know, talk about starting a business that, you know, whether it's, you know, rental properties or maybe they're driving for Uber just to keep themselves busy and create a little extra cash, or maybe they work at a golf course, whatever that may be. But, you know, many people today in their 50s and 60s are, you know, leaving corporate America. They're going out and starting their own business, starting a job. So now, Richard, your background was in marketing and over-the-counter products, correct?
That's right. So basically it's in sales and marketing. And it's split between having worked in the over-the-counter business with pharmaceutical companies and actually being a sales and marketing executive in the beverage alcohol industry. So all consumer products from OTC to image-driven products.
Gotcha. So what kind of benchmarks did you put in place to determine how long you would keep investing or keep working in this business? You know, is it something that you're looking at the long run, you'll keep going as long as you can or want to, or was it a specific time period? What are some things that you thought about there on the front end?
Well, what I did is I wrote a business plan. So, and even though I was the one making the investment, I went through the discipline of doing that, of looking at the market, looking how it's segmented. So using my expertise as a corporate executive to put some of the metrics that we would use in a corporation and applying that to what I was doing. So, for example, rule of thumb when you're launching a new product is that you break even at the end of the third year. So whatever you invest, your income and expenses will equal zero at the end of year three. By the end of year five, you should have paid back your investment. So what I did is I focused on the numbers. On the sales and income side, I worked really hard to be as conservative as I felt I could be. And on the expense side, I tried to think of everything that I could on, you know, as far as expenses. So I tried to put the worst case scenario together from a financial standpoint. And then what you do is, you know, it's very difficult at first to sort of break it down more than on a yearly basis. Right now, for example, we're just completing our second full year of operation. So I have a little bit of sales history, and what I can do is on a quarter-by-quarter basis now, see how I'm doing on the sales side and on the expense side. And what I do is, you know, you kind of see how you're doing versus those metrics. And as soon as you start to see a yellow flag, then you've got to focus and look in on why you have the issue that you do and what you can do about it. What was kind of critical was to figure out how we're going to do what we do without investing a lot of money in fixed costs, in equipment, you know, in office, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So we work very, very hard to make sure that when we're spending money, what are we getting for it? And, you know, a lot of money right now, for example, is being invested in inventory, which is a good thing because that way, you know, if things do not work out, well, at least there's an asset that I can take to get most of my money back.
Sure. Richard, can you hang with us for just a few more questions on the other side of a break?
Would love to.
Okay, great. Money beliefs versus money realities. Kyle O'Dell is in studio. We've got a special guest today talking about some things with entrepreneurship. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
When people see the new, beautiful cat lodge at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they're pretty impressed. With its sleek condo spaces, stunning wall murals reflecting Colorado mountainscapes, custom-built cat trees made from real aspen and spruce, and a colorful and entertaining fish tank, we couldn't be happier to show it off. The Cat Lodge is a special place for cats of all ages and sizes to hang out when their families are away, providing much-needed peace and tranquility. Whether your special friend loves to lounge, nest, explore, or be entertained, you can rest assured that your special companion will find something that suits his or her fancy. The atmosphere is relaxing and stress-free and filled with cat-friendly activities and objects of interest. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we understand how stressful it can be to leave a beloved pet behind when you have to be away. Call Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center with your questions about our new cat lodge and our cat boarding services. 303-708-8050 or visit lonetreevet.com.
I was hurt in a car accident. The bills were piling up and my insurance company was giving me the runaround. I didn't know what to do, but then I called a lawyer I saw on TV. That lawyer had all the tools and the knowledge to get me 1.2 mil...
Whoa. When you're hurt in an accident, you need Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law, a lawyer that's going to take your case seriously and not treat you like some get-rich-quick scheme. Serious car accidents are traumatic and can completely disrupt your life. Kevin Flesh has the integrity to help you get your life back on track. He will fight for you to get what you deserve, but he won't treat you like a lottery ticket. After you've been in an accident, call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 and make sure you will get someone who will do the right thing and get your life back.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watney, along with Kyle O'Dell. Richard Muckamel is with us. Richard, hopefully we're saying that last name correctly, sir.
You are.
All right.
Are.
Good deal.
Thank you. I appreciate you doing that.
All right, sir. Absolutely. Talking a little bit about entrepreneurship, you know, and one other question I had real quick, you know, a lot of times, especially in products, first of all, when people are thinking about going in business, I always tell them, think about the amount of money you think you need and then quadruple it, because it's never that budget. But, you know, marketing a product is, you know, man, a huge chore. So, how did you go about figuring out just that one aspect of the marketing side of the product? There, needless to say, there's no shortage of entities out there that come to you, oh, we can help you market this, we can help do this, whether it be TV, radio, whatever. How did you go about kind of weeding through some of those marketing ideas to find the right thing?
Well, fortunately, my background is in marketing. Not only in a corporate environment, but as a, you know, I had my own consulting business for a while. And what we did is we happened to develop amazing products. And they work, they deliver what we say they deliver, and they do so in spades. So in a situation like that where we know that we have a competitive advantage with the product, our goal is to get the product into people's hands and into trying it. So, and our products are premium priced. So we invest in sampling. And that is our main venue. And what we do, because we sort of are aware of some of the major consumer shows and conferences that are around there, we use conferences and shows as our main marketing tool. We supplement that with social media activity. So a lot of our money gets invested into sampling, setting up booths, talking to consumers, letting them try the product. So what we do is we actually have a two-step approach. We have tester bottles. So when a customer comes up to our booth, we talk to them about the product, and we say, look, here's a free sample for you to try. But you know what? Why don't you save that? We have a tester. You can try it right now.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a cream-based product, so it's not like there's a lip balm tube and everybody's kind of passing it around. Right? And we're selling a product that, you know, a cold sore remedy, which is, you know, an antiviral product, so you don't have to worry about, you know, fingers and stuff because, it is that.
Sure.
But basically what you do is you let the customer try it. And we don't sell the product. We just explain it.
Wow.
And what we do is the customer comes to that conclusion on their own because of our competitive advantage. So that is a main thing that we do. The other thing that we do is when somebody orders a product, what we do is when we ship them the product, they always get free samples that they can share with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
We have information cards of our product that they get so that they can hand out information cards. And they get a letter that I sign personally that thanks them for purchasing it, describes how to use it, and asks them to, you know, like us on Facebook to help build our social media presence. So we always want to give a little bit more than the customer is expecting.
Sure.
Under promise, over deliver, you know, bring a lot of value there.
Absolutely.
You know, and one of the things that Scott, you know, brought up earlier, you know, where he had asked you a question, Richard, about, you know, going into business with other partners. And I know that, you know, with just our firm, there are four of us managing partners. And so navigating through that is, you know, to set up a company with partners is not an easy thing. And one of the things that we did as a company is to spend some time. We hired a law firm to create an operating agreement between us partners that really covered everything from, you know, if all of us partners are married and, you know, if a partner has a divorce or one of them wants to get out of the business or one of them passes away or, you know, gets in trouble, whatever that may be, you know, we have all the answers in that operating document. In terms of how to appraise the business, what are the steps in buying out a partner or whatever that may be. So I would certainly, you know, tell anyone if you do go into business with a partner to spend that time, it's worth writing the check to the attorney.
Yep.
To give you the peace
there
of mind.
There is no question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There is no question about that. And, you know, I'm in a bit of an interesting situation that most of my partners are actually artists. And so they don't necessarily have that business background. And I've been very insistent that that we have an operating agreement. The operating agreement is in place. It did cost us money, but it is absolutely money well spent. And we're actually, even though the operating agreement does spell certain procedures, you know, if one party wants to sell, et cetera, we have a separate buy-sell agreement that we are just finalizing, actually. And, you know, so it's really, really important. I can't, you know, stress this enough. Successful business people, on one side of the table, they've got their lawyer. On the other side is the accountant. And, you know, invest in the best quality of both that you can. And it will pay off in the long run.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. I have ownership in four different companies, and you know, that's something that, you know, we don't skimp on. That's for sure. I'm not going to LegalZoom for that. So
that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, what's funny is that my partner was kind of like, hey, why don't we do, you know, just go to LegalZoom? And it's like, no, we're not.
No.
Yeah.
No, not a chance. If we want to fail, great. Let's go do
that.
There
you go.
But we're
not
going to do that. You need a great, tax person. You need a great attorney that this is their specialty behind you. That's for sure. So Richard, tell us, you know, what are some words of wisdom that you could provide for anyone wanting to look at this journey of starting their own business, as you know, as they've moved through life and they're at this point and they're giving that some thought? What are some words of wisdom that you have?
Well, let's take the scenario that you were talking about earlier of the person who's working for a company, a corporate person who's looking to leave that and start their own business. So the first thing is, and I know it's kind of a blinding glimpse of the obvious, don't quit your day job. While you're working, you have a source of income. That is a very, very valuable thing when you're starting up a business.
Tremendous value.
Right? So you must do as all of your research and planning and all of these things that I talked about before you leave. It would even be wise to start the business, do it on the side to the point where, you know, you can no longer do both, and then you quit the corporate job once you know that the business enterprise that you're starting up looks like it's going to be successful. Because the reality is that 9 out of 10 business startups fail. And they usually fail because of inadequate capitalization. So you have to have, you know, enough money in it to, as you mentioned earlier, you know, it takes multiples more money than you think it's going to be, even on the most pessimistic plan. And it also takes multiples of months or even years more than you think to be successful. So you really, you know, the first thing is tread really carefully. Don't just jump from one thing to the other. The second thing is have a plan. And once you've written the plan and you've thought about the plan, try to find business people who are experienced as just business people, not necessarily corporate people, and have them read through the plan and cross-examine you about the plan and write down their questions, you know, when you don't know the answer, and research the answer to that.
Right.
As a rule of thumb, I would say sell a service, not a product. Sell your expertise. So if you're, you know, a lawyer working for a company, you know, maybe start on the side offering legal advice and doing something else until you've got enough of a client base. If you're a controller or working in finance in a company, you know, you might want to start by doing people's tax return, that kind of thing, so that you're not investing money in office space and, you know, in physical things, overhead that is going to suck up a lot of money and not necessarily going to give you a return.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I guess my last bit of advice is don't bet the farm. You know, you don't want to dip into your retirement savings for this. So I guess my sort of final thing would be there's a better chance of you making money going to a casino in Vegas than starting up a small business. So if you're going to do this and invest money, use your Vegas money. Don't use your retirement.
I can tell
money.
He's done this, Kyle.
So,
we've all, Richard, been, we're shaking our head.
Yeah. I 100% let me tell you.
You know, it's experience. You know, it's like if you saw how little gray hair I have on my head, you understand why. That, you know, it's because I've done other things in the past and not been as, you know, as quote unquote wise, you know, about it. So, you know, you've got to be really careful.
I agree. You know, when it comes to families' finances, you know, the thing we work to avoid is making a mistake. When it comes to owning a business, the thing you need to work to avoid is a mistake. And what I refer to it as is a dumb tax. Don't pay a dumb tax. Don't make a choice where, like you're saying, where you're having to go all in. You know, what I refer to, you know, when I look at entrepreneurship, that's just like having a child again. You're not going to sleep. There's no such thing as a 40-hour work week. You're going to wear 40 hats. You're going to, you know, the last person you want doing your marketing is me. But when I had to, when I started my business, I was the marketer.
That's right.
I hired that out as quickly as I could, you know, and so I think, you know, looking at your, you look at your strengths, you look at what you're poor at, and you look to hire those weaknesses out as quickly as possible. But at the beginning, you may have to take those on, even if it is uncomfortable, something that you're not good at. But, you know, being an entrepreneur, I think that was great advice with keeping that full-time job. And then from there, you just don't sleep. If you need to stay up at night to get the business going, that's what you do.
Right.
That's part of it.
That's right. You know, and if you're going to, you know, take partners, for example, try to find partners that have a set of skills that you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I were starting up a business myself, and I was engaged in the kind of business that I'm in now, I would want, you know, maybe a lawyer as a partner, an accountant as a partner. I would want maybe somebody who's really good with artwork or social media, for example, as a partner.
Yep.
And that way, there's synergy.
That's right? Exactly,
and,
right.
And you're exchanging the expertise for equity.
Right. Well, Richard, we are out of time, but we're going to do this again. This is a lot of great information. I think it's going to be a big help to a lot of people. So, man, we sure appreciate your time. Check out.
It's been my pleasure.
RobinsonRemedies.com. I did that while you were on the phone with us, so I'm going to be in touch with you because I got some thoughts for you here in Colorado with our Sportsman of Colorado outdoor show we do. A lot of people spend time in the outdoors here, and I'm telling you, nothing more painful than lips cracking and cold sores and all that stuff when you're out there. So, hey, we appreciate it very much. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Kyle O'Dell, once again, managing partner here at OWRSfirm.com is his website, 303-780-7350 for a free consultation with Kyle. Kyle, great show, and we appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Scott.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Tired of walking into your local gun store and seeing the same old thing? Hey, let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. You'll find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. Rampart Firearms is also a great stop for all of your hunting and shooting needs. Shotgun, rifle, or pistol, from predator hunting to your next big game trip, Rampart Firearms is located in Douglas County at the foot of the Rockies, just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe in Sedalia. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, and hey, you'll only pay 4% tax on your purchase. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Or visit them at rampartfirearms.com.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. I joined along in studio with Marie Christine. How was your weekend?
It was great. How about you, Scott?
Mine was good as well. Did a little fishing, actually. Cherry Creek Reservoir.
Did you catch anything good?
No, but it was pretty. That's why I'm a hunter, not a fisherman. Dr. Shane Stedman, Integrated Health Systems, on the line with us now. Doc, how are you?
I'm good, good, good. I didn't get to do any fishing, but it was a great weekend.
Hey, we'll have to go out there. Our good friend Kevin Flesh has a boat, and he lives real close, so we'll have to figure that out.
Oh, nice.
Get out and try that. All right, our topic here for a couple of shows, and we try to do a little series each month on some different issues, and ADD and ADHD. And this is a good time for parents to do some consultations and work on their kids when school is out a little bit, and maybe you've learned some things about your students through the school year. So first of all, I just want to, you know, it seems like this ADD, ADHD, all these initials for kids especially, I guess, with this, you know, seem to start up several years back. But doing a little research here before the show, I was showing Marie, it was first mentioned, ADHD was first mentioned in 1902.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had no idea. It said a British pediatrician, Sir George Still, described an abnormal defect of moral control in children. He found that some affected children could not control their behavior the way of a typical child would. But they were still intelligent. And that was in the 1900s. Now, I told Marie, we didn't have ADD and ADHD. My dad had a BELT, you know, which seemed to straighten out my listening, too. But there is a condition here, and we don't want to make light of that because there is a condition here. But give us just a brief background a little bit. Is there a difference between ADD and ADHD, and what are you seeing in your practice?
You know, so ADD is your classic inattentive, distractible, disorganized, impulsive kind of symptoms. And most of the time you kind of see this at school. You know, so kids just have a hard time staying focused. And so that's your kind of traditional ADD. And your ADHD, it adds the H in, which is hyperactivity disorder. So a lot of times you see that same distractibility, but with a hyper, you know, component to it as well. So that's kind of what kids struggle with is they're trying to stay focused at school, but they're constantly distracted by a noise or a sound or a shadow or a thought or some kind of movement that a kid made in you know, next to them, or something the teacher said. So there's this highly distractible piece that makes it really hard for them to focus. And I remember one time I had a patient, he told me, he goes, let me tell you the difference between normal people and people with ADD. He said, a normal person will drive down the road and see some cows in the pasture and say, hey, that's, you know, there's like, you know, a few cows over there, they're all grazing, cute, one's laying down. He goes, when I look at the cows, I go, there's five brown cows, there's a white cow, there's got three brown spots to it, there's two cows that are laying down, you know, they're close to each other, but they should be with the other ones. That brown cow has a white spot on its nose, that cow is flicking its tail, that one's not flicking its tail, there's, you know, flies all around that one, and that one's drinking some water, that one's running around, that one looks lost.
Wow, so it's almost like you're overly, it's almost like you're overly observant.
Yeah, and there's definitely a piece, and that's why kids with ADD and ADHD, they tend to be super smart. And I think that's what frustrates a lot of people, is I got this really smart, brilliant kid that I can't seem to focus and, you know, sit down and concentrate and do their work. And so they're up and down all over the place, and it's really distracting to other kids, you know, but they can't seem to help it.
So are there any similarities between ADD, ADHD, and something like autism? Because autism, I would think of that, you're too observant. You focus on one thing too much as opposed to something else.
There are a lot of similarities. And you'll see some people will say that autism is like a higher form of ADD. I've heard that out there. And then you kind of hear different people saying it's a spectrum. You know, so you have a kind of a spectral disorder. In which, you know, some people might have ADD, some have hyperactivity, some have autism, some have Asperger's, you know, some have sensory processing, you know, so they kind of, some people will throw it on a spectrum, and that's kind of what you see going on out there. And there seems to be a lot of different kind of thoughts and theories. You know, there's your kind of hardcore diagnosis of your classic ADD, but, you know, I've even read where there's, you know, inattentive ADD, overfocus ADD, temporal lobe ADD, limbic ADD, you know, there's anxiety ADD. It's like,
wow.
There's so many different kind of variables and forms. But what we can talk about here in 2 seconds, I think one of my goals is to kind of explain, I think, what are we looking at from a brain standpoint? Because mm-hmm. we can label this all day long. And I think that sometimes become a disservice to some kids, is that you label the kid and then they fulfill that label, you know, or everybody's happy because now you can finally put a label to it, but it still doesn't fix the problem. It just recognizes what's going on.
So, yeah, so I guess when somebody comes, I mean, you see kids at integrated health systems. So when somebody brings a kid to you, where do you sort of start with this ADHD, you know, whichever label it is?
So the important piece for us is to identify which part of the brain is actually responsible for the symptoms that we're seeing. So if we talk about like the little labels that are out there, let's talk about like temporal lobe ADD. Well, the temporal lobe could be involved in ADD, which the temporal lobe deals with, you know, sometimes math and emotions, smell recognition, tone, rhythm. You know, those are some of the things that the temporal lobe is involved in. What if you have a limbic version? And the limbic system is your emotional systems. So when people have a lot of anxiety or panic attacks, sometimes they call it a limbic disorder. That's your emotional centers of the brain. So if you have a limbic variety of an ADD, then we know that the emotional centers of the brain are overactive, and they're creating the disorganization and the lack of focus and concentration. So really what's important, I think, for parents out there is you're trying to identify, you know, you can put a label on it, which is good, because sometimes once you put a label, then the teachers can jump on board. You know, you can have an IEP for the kids, so you can put together, you know, kind of a plan of action. You can allow more time for a kid. You can allow more studying for a kid. You can allow a little certain recommendations so that kid can thrive. So that's where the labels become really important. But beyond that label, now we have to go after fixing kind of what we're finding is not working. And that's where when patients come into the office, that's what we're trying to identify. So is this a frontal lobe issue? Is it a temporal lobe issue, a limbic issue, or is it another issue? I mean, there could be so many different reasons for this that we're trying to identify those reasons so that we know which system to go after to correct and help the kid do better within social norms.
And again, this is Dr. Shane Steadman with Integrated Health Systems. Phone number is 303-781-5617, integratedhealthdenver.com. So Dr. Steadman, you know, some of these symptoms you're talking about, not being able to pay attention, do you ever find that a parent brings in somebody who thinks their kid has ADD, but really they're just not behaving very well? They're kind of naughty?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's one of the things that is important, I think, to kind of figure out, too. Because, you know, that's one of the things that we hear out there with people is like, oh, you know, they don't have ADD. It's just that, you know, the parents don't, you know, correct them. And I think there's some of that, for sure. And that's one of the things that we try to figure out. And to me, that's what's important about doing an exam and doing a workup on a kid is I've actually had parents bring in their kids and, like, I think they have ADD. And I do this workup. I'm like, man, your kid is pretty spot on, you know. And then you kind of dig deeper and you're like, man, I don't think the parents have good boundaries, and I don't think the parents have a good, parenting style, or the parents aren't on the same parenting style. Like, you got one parent parenting a certain way, you have the other parent doing it another way, you have grandma and grandpa who are parenting a different way, and then you have the teacher that's parenting a different way, and then they're all, you know, so the kid doesn't know which way to follow. They don't know what their boundaries are. And so now there's people I got throwing their hands up in the air saying, well, he just has ADD.
Well, maybe that's where the counselor at Integrated Health Systems can help out.
Yes. That's why I'm a counselor. Because that is a problem that I run into. You know, that goes back to finding the cause, you know. So is the cause the parent? Is the cause the brain? Or, you know, one of the things I think we can talk about this month when we talk about ADD and ADHD is food. I mean, food is a big player too. So we have to figure out what that causes. So I think in these cases where the parent might be the cause, I have a counselor, and then I can have the counselor, talk with the parents. Because I've actually been in the middle of, like, parent arguments, you know, where dad is going to do it his way and mom's going to do it her way, and the kid is just super confused. And at the end of the day, he doesn't know what to do, so he's just going to do whatever feels right at the time. And
man,
so then the teacher's like, well, you got ADD.
Your kids have got no shot of getting anything over on you. Man, they're probably like, why'd my dad have to be like a brain surgeon and know all this stuff?
Actually, my daughter's loving it right now. She over the weekend, she's like, I got 100% on my on my test at school. And I was like, oh, what was it covering? She goes, it was all about the brain and neurons. Like, of course.
That's
so
cool.
I guess the teacher gave her a test and said, do the test and you can do corrections. And so she got 100% on the first time. So she just got to sit around while everyone was correcting their papers.
Oh, that's so cool. So let me, when you start seeing kids, there's got to be a point, like I say, where they're just kids are being kids. So what age do you say is the earliest, or what's the youngest child that you've seen that you feel like treatment is appropriate at that point?
All right, so I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to give you a long answer to
okay.
that question. So what we see, I'll give all the listeners kind of like a perspective on brain development, because this really tends to answer some of those that question that you asked. When you're first born, well, I'm going to back up even one more. So traditionally, if we kind of make the brain really simple, the right brain, the right side of your brain is like your brake, and the left brain is like your gas pedal. So when you get into these ADD and ADHDs, it's like somebody stepped on the brake or on the gas pedal, and there's no brake system. And that's probably the simplest, most easy analogy to give parents out there. So now if we get into the development, what you tend to see is that in those first couple of years, the right brain is what's developing. So you're kind of developing that brake system. About the age of 3, the gas pedal or the left brain starts to kick in for development. So now let's say that in the first couple of years, when your right brain should have been activated, now you have your left brain that's actually being developed at that same time. So you should have kind of like, it's almost like a racehorse if you think of, or two cars racing, you know. So the right car should be ahead, and then at 3 years old the left car then kicks on, or the left horse, we just had the Kentucky Derby, we'll talk about horses. So the right horse is ahead, and then we have the left horse that should then kick up. So by the age of 5 they both should be neck and neck. Does that make sense? So there should be a right brain, left brain balance that's neck and neck around the age of five. But let's say that at the very beginning of birth, both brains are elevated and they're kind of neck and neck. Well, when the age of three kicks on, that left brain keeps going and keeps going. So now the left brain is further ahead by the age of five. So now you have a situation in which the gas pedal has been really developed and that right brain or the brake system is lagging behind. So to kind of answer your question, kind of the earliest that you'll hear people talking about diagnosing or identifying is usually around the age of three, when that left brain starts to kick in, because it should kick in from being behind and now is kicking in from being ahead. So that's when you start seeing issues with kids, is right around the age of three. And then by the time they start kindergarten, you really start to see it in classrooms. So now they're talking about early intervention and early diagnosis around the age of three, which is reasonable, but it still is not addressing why that left brain is overdeveloping.
But it almost sounds like from what you said, because you're saying at the age of five is when they kind of start to balance out the left and right brain, that maybe you should wait until 5 years old to really start diagnosing.
Well, and you do see a lot of diagnosing around that age, but you hear very often, even like in the autism world, that you're going to pull out that autism right around the age of three. And even I've seen a lot of parents that have kids with special needs. They'll even say, kind of, let's wait until the age of three and five to see what condition their kid grows into.
Okay, because that's when it really starts to show itself for the first time.
So that's when you want to look for it. But that's when it's time to say, okay, what's going on? How do we evaluate this? What things can we do early on so that we don't end up with a right brain, left brain disconnect and they're just not talking well to each other?
Got it. So let's say a kid comes in and you do your exam and you figure out, okay, this isn't just bad behavior. There is actually some issues with the right and left brain. First of all, what does that exam look like? And second of all, where do you go from there?
Well, what's kind of nice about that is from a right brain, left brain, there's things that both brains are responsible for. You know, so a lot of things, like the left brain is, that's more of your analytical side. And if you've kind of seen or known kids with ADD, ADHD, and autism, I mean, they are so smart. I mean, they can take something apart and they can put it back together. You know, I mean, they can, you could almost joke and say that a three-year-old could probably dismantle a car and then put it all back together. I mean, they are so incredibly smart. And they're so incredibly linear. So everything is like step by step by step by step. And it makes sense because that's the left part of the brain. So, you know, if you don't have that right brain, then you're living in this very routine, predictable, analytical, step-by-step world. So sometimes just by their behaviors, you're like, okay, we're definitely seeing that left brain just yelling at you, like, here I am, here I am. Where their right brain kind of tends to be more of like that creative visionary side, you know. So I kind of use the analogy that the right brain would be, let's say you're a captain on a ship. So the captain's going to say, all right, I want to go that way because we're going to go discover new land and do all this. And that's a very visionary kind of right brain, you know, task. Then the captain looks at all the people on the ship and is like, you figure out how to get me there. That's the left brain. And you kind of see this, where left brain people are not very visionary. You know, if you say, hey, what does this mean? They're like, I don't know. I got to work through it. You know, it's like, okay, that's your left brain talking. So sometimes just in their behavior, you can get an idea of right brain, left brain. They're very good at math, you know, and sometimes they're called savants. They're just, I mean, they even talked about how Albert Einstein was ADHD, you know, just that savant brilliance. So that's how you can kind of figure things out from the parent standpoint. And then your exam standpoint is kind of fun because your left brain controls the right side of your body and the right brain controls the left side of your body. So during our exam, we can start looking for those imbalances between right and left, which is pretty cool.
Right.
So,
you know, when you start going through this exam, can a lot of these things be treated with just things there in your office, maybe, you know, different exercise, whatever, or most of the time do we have to introduce drugs at some point? And I think one everybody thinks of is Ritalin right off the bat. But I'm sure most of the time, man, you want to stay away from drugs if you can.
Yeah, you know, there's you know, and we've talked about on the show, I think there's always a time and a place for medications. And I think in the place of kids, you know, I'm such a big fan of trying everything holistic because you may get to that point where you don't even need the medications. And I think next week, because I want to continue this topic, you know, next week we can actually talk about the different parts of the brain and kind of how they manifest. You know, but there are definitely natural things that we can do. There's exercises. There's a system called Interactive Metronome that people who have kids have probably done some of this in the past. I mean, that's a great therapy for kids. You can look at different supplemental supports like a serotonin or GABA. Those things work great for these kids. So we try everything from a very holistic supplemental and exercise standpoint so that we don't have to go into those medications. You know, but as long as they're improving and they're not disruptive in class, they're getting good grades and the other kids are allowed to perform, I mean, those are some big goals that are very achievable.
Right. And it sounds like, Dr. Stedman, you're not trying to squelch that kid's natural analytical side or their natural creative side. All you're trying to do is maybe develop that one half of the brain that's maybe underdeveloped to get them back in balance, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I've had adults with ADD, and they'll make that comment, you know, you're not going to get rid of what's made me successful in business, are you? I'm like, no, absolutely not. But you should be able to be more focused because sometimes you find that kids, you know, people with ADD they're so smart and they're kind of all over the place, but they can juggle a lot. Sometimes they make some really good, you know, great like CEOs or salespeople. I mean, sometimes they're just, that's what really makes them great at their job. And so I've been asked that, please don't get rid of this. Can you just make me better? So we'll work on the right brain, make them better.
Wow. Well, we're looking forward to this topic here over the next several weeks because, again, I think this, I don't know the numbers, but it affects a lot of people. And we're talking about not only affecting a child, but a whole family, friends of that family, everything. So a lot going on here, and Dr. Stedman will join us again every Monday at 12:30, and we'll talk about a lot of these issues. And if you've got questions, if you want to send us an email, and maybe you've got a question for Dr. Stedman, you don't want to come on air and ask, shoot me an email, scott@haystackhelp.com, and we'll get Dr. Stedman to answer that for us next week. So, Dr. Stedman, thank you very much, sir. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, you guys. Have a great week.
All right. That's Dr. Shane Stedman, integratedhealthdenver.com. It is a free consultation. Give them a call, 303-781-5617, 303-781-5617. Marie, thank you as always.
Always fun, Scott.
All right. And thank you for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio. Our helpline is always there for you as well. That's 303-333-HELP, 303-333-4357. Have a great rest of your day and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.